Right, good morning. Welcome to the FTS bet slip on Friday, the 1st of October. October already, bloody hell. Get that Christmas shopping in now. It'll all be gone soon. Get that shopping in now. Better get out there now. Get it. Go and get it all. Nothing left. Panic. Who was it? The Smiths who sang Panic, wasn't it? Panic on the streets of every town. Right, morning. Scotty's with us. How are you, Scott?
Yeah, morning. Yeah, pretty good. How about yourself?
Yeah, I'm good, son. I'm good. Yeah.
You're looking well. I'm at the fortunate position. I actually can see you in your finery.
Since Sam's been away, I've lost £8.
Oh, my God. I wish I had.
Because that just shows you what a feeder she is. I'll tell you what it is, the biggest thing. Oh, well, I've not had any beer. I've had one sip of wine since she's been away when I went out to a birthday do. And that was just to try the wine because somebody said it was really nice. So I've not had any alcohol whatsoever. And I've not eaten a potato. My missus My missus loves a potato, roast potatoes, mashed potatoes. And we had that period on keto and then she gradually eked them back in. And I thought, I'm getting rid of all that shit when she's gone. And so I've had no beer, no potatoes, 3 meals a day, fairly healthy. Fish, vegetables, meat, vegetables. That's all
it's
about.
She's not been gone that long either to lose £8.
2 weeks she's been gone.
That's excellent.
It's all about calories in, calories out, son. That's all it's about. All this other shit, people can go away. If you do the FTS diet, I can make people lose weight as well. It's just a bit of willpower. Stick to it. We've got crisps and sweets in the cupboard, completely untouched. She loves popcorn. That's in the cupboard, untouched. See, she loves all that. She's a feeder. See, but when she's gone, and I've been quite busy, which helps. But no, I did. You've got to set weight, didn't you? And you're here, I've got a weight I don't ever like to really, and I've got above that. Obviously, had a few pissy updos. We had the London drinks day. I went to Tottenham, Chelsea, and the only way to get through that was to get absolutely smashed.
And the way your team are these days, you've got to be drinking.
So yeah, so I had a few. Pissy days, obviously, right through the summer, the Euros, had a few beers and things. So I just, thought, right, let's get on it.
I think that was to get you through talking to me most days.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, you do tend to put a bit of weight on at Christmas. If there's any food left, we might, but if there isn't, then we won't. But I do feel good. It is good.
You are looking pretty trim.
Yeah, I told you I'm a machine, son. So
yeah, you're Ralph Lauren looking a bit looser, you know.
Yes, that's it, son. That's it. right, what's been happening this week, Scotty? Right, obviously, you mentioned it when we spoke before going live. We've been running a few polls on Twitter.
Yeah.
Started off, the first one, I think, was the Spice Girls, favourite Spice Girl. And we've moved through. Today's one is which city would you most like to visit? We've done a bit of politics, we've done a bit of James Bond, we've done the Beatles, we've done all sorts of stuff. Yeah. There is a plan to this. This is like a sports model. Everybody thinks I'm just doing it for a laugh. I'm not. I've actually weighted the answers. So every answer gets a score, and then I will publish that probably after Christmas. There's loads more questions to come. Everybody gets a score, every answer gets a score, and then you'll know what you answered. You'll be able to score yourself, and then you'll get a grade at the end of it of where you are in society and what sort of person you are. And then you can move into 2022 and have a look at your life choices. there is, of course, the added element for me of the entertainment of it, of dealing with complete and utter knob ends. So, for example, we asked which was the best James Bond from Connery, Craig, Dalton and Brosnan, and of course, where's Roger Moore? Why haven't you asked me about Roger Moore? People all getting in a right old, why haven't you asked me the question I wanted to? Isn't it? It's like going into school and the geography teacher says, right, we're going to do some capital cities today, guys. What's the capital of Venezuela? And the kid puts his head, oh, no, can you ask us what's the capital of Glasgow, please?
Yeah, I know that one.
I want that one. Can you ask us? That's what it's like, isn't it? So just a great insight into the nonsense. And like this morning, Ronnie, I mean, this one's great. Ronnie, love him to death. Lovely guy, been FTS for a long time. City he'd most like to visit: Rome, Sydney, New York, Tokyo. Old OT, I've been to all of them. Didn't ask whether you've been to them, did we? Villa fans, because they know they're going to have a good weekend.
That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, because they're having a nice weekend, Villa fans. They're getting all flash and leery.
Yeah.
Oh, I've been to all of them there. Didn't ask you that, OT. Just ask you which one you'd most like to visit. Exactly, Scott. It's not about whether you've been there before.
Yeah, I'd like to go back.
Out of those four, which would you most like to visit? Ronnie from Scotland. None of them really appeal. I mean, Rome, Sydney, New York, Tokyo, none of them really appeal. I suppose it's Stirling, Glasgow.
Yeah, Shetlands.
Yeah. So
you just get people that remember it's your poll, not theirs.
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, yeah, I mean, Kevin Kelly thinks that I picked the British Prime Minister.
I did see that.
Yeah, like, what choices you are. That accounts for like 62% of the last 40 odd years.
Yeah.
People have been Prime Minister, but no, I got that wrong. Kerry Blaber, seriously? Well, yes, because they were the people who's Prime Minister, and I'm just interested. And different numbers as well, like the Prime Minister one got a load, the opposition one, Corbyn, Hague, Miliband, Howard, only 150 votes. But
yeah, I didn't vote.
You didn't vote because you don't know enough about it, do you? I can understand that. So, but we got loads more to come. I've got a whole host of these covering all range of topics to post.
Oh, I can't wait to basically see the answers you get.
Yeah, no, it's brilliant. I'm absolutely loving it. As I think I said to one of the guys yesterday, it's an absolute insight into the psychology of people.
Yeah.
Obviously, a topical one this week was the James Bond one. I've got to revisit the James Bond one. And you yourself are going to get stick here. Kevin Kelly again. I don't know whether people don't think about the answers. And the one thing we'll see with this, definitely through the topics, is a recency bias.
Oh, yeah.
Because obviously, Sean Connery was James Bond 50, 60
years ago. Yeah, that's very true. Who would remember?
And Daniel Craig is here now.
Yeah.
I love every Bond movie. I'm a massive Bond fan. I think all the Bond films, I never ever say a bad word about any of them. I think they've all got something in them. I'm a real Bond nut. Love it. I've seen them. I've got the 50-year box set. If I have got spare time, that is what I'd likely put on. I've seen most of them double-digit times. Things like Doctor No, I've probably seen 30, 40 times, which is the best Bond movie ever, by the way. But the recency bias and people like Daniel Craig, obviously, and Daniel Craig is a good Bond, but
yeah, he is.
Casino Royale was different class.
Yeah.
They haven't touched it since Casino Royale.
I thought Skyfall was very good.
They've turned them a bit more into sort of Bourne-like movies for me.
And actually, you do like Bourne, though, don't you?
I love Bourne, yeah. Bourne is superb, but
yeah.
But James Bond isn't.
I know you mean you deviate a bit from what
moving away. I've read all the books as well, and they've moving away from the book character more and more and more. Good movies, really enjoyable movies, but, you know, it's getting longer, more and more special effects, close-up fighting, all that sort of stuff. I'm not saying it's not good. Been a good Bond, Daniel Craig, but it is a recency bias.
Yeah.
Because Sean Connery is without doubt the best Bond. That's just a fact. You can do whatever you like with it. Facts. Rafa Benitez, facts. can have your own opinions, can't have your own facts. And you yourself and Kevin Kelly came on. Only two in it, Connery and Craig, the rest are shit. Timothy
Dalton. I didn't say they were shit, but they weren't as good.
Yeah, Kevin Craig's Kelly. Kevin Kelly's exact words were, rest of shit. Timothy Dalton was a fantastic James Bond.
Yeah, I was surprised when you said that.
Timothy Dalton, the two movies he did, and they actually wanted him to stay longer. People think he got the sack. He didn't get the sack. He took Connery back, took Bond back to the sort of book time era from the sort of camp Roger Moore period. They actually wanted Timothy Dalton before Roger Moore, but he didn't want to follow Connery because Connery was so good, and he said he was a bit young. He then didn't really want to do it at all, but he did get talked into it, and they had a thing to do a third movie, but MGM ran into trouble and they couldn't make the third movie, and they were desperate to keep him, but he decided he'd had enough, and that's why he only did two.
They were good films.
He didn't get sacked or anything because he was shit. If Timothy Dalton had carried on, you may never have seen Pierce Brosnan. They were the only two in the running. But Timothy Dalton was an absolutely fantastic James Bond. He was to watch the movies again. He's absolutely superb.
I like Brosnan as well.
Huh?
I like Brosnan.
Yeah, they all bring something different to it, don't they? That era. But there's definitely a recency bias with Daniel Craig because we're in this era of bigger, you know, bigger productions, bigger movies, and he has been good. He's been, you know, he was absolutely slated when he got the job. And then Casino Royale came, and all of a sudden he's the best Bond ever. Casino Royale is a fantastic movie. I really enjoy it. But yeah, it's just interesting how people reply. And obviously, I didn't put, I think it's Callum Doodle got me dead right. I don't think you've put Roger Moore on there on purpose. And that's absolutely right. I didn't. I absolutely didn't put it on purpose. So we'll keep those going. It is very, very entertaining. It does keep me entertained through the day. As for cities, for me personally, Tokyo. I think I've been to Tokyo. I've only been to 3 OT. I haven't been to Sydney. I went to Australia, but I never went to Sydney. And look at him. He's added another 4. Look at him. The old Villa fan.
Yeah, I saw those recommended, yeah.
But,
We would like to go to Tokyo.
Tokyo.
New York because I love New York. And
I mean, Rome, I absolutely loved. Architecturally, one of the best cities I've ever been to. Fantastic. New York, I can see why people don't like it, but I really enjoyed it.
The
times I've been there, sort of manic, doing everything in 2-3 days, really enjoyed it. And Tokyo, for me, was fantastic. Sydney, waste of time. But there you go. Right, what else have we got? Was there anything else there? Oh, no, and the politics ones were interesting, weren't they? You were brave, stuck your neck out saying that you'd put Maggie.
Only because I like decisive people and I don't like wishy-washy.
Yeah, that was very good. So you put that. And she just narrowly pipped Blair. The most disturbing thing in that vote is that Boris Johnson, out of 7 people, still got nearly 4%, which is the really disturbing thing.
Do you think that's that recent bias thing again?
Well, there's probably, you've got to have in my waiting that we'll have, you have to add a bit of, people are going to answer something to probably try and wind me up. So you have to take a little bit off of that. So I imagine there's a couple of them in there. And then there is probably a bit of recency bias in there. And there's probably the biggest fact is that those 4% are actually fucking complete bellends. It's actually probably more like the truth.
Yeah, quite possibly.
That got 307 votes. And then when we looked at the leader of the opposition, William Hague won that with 41.7. Corbyn and Miliband, very close, but only 144 votes in that one. So only half the people answered the opposition one, too. So for every answer, it's got a score. And it'll be really interesting to see where we end up. We've got a few more. Might have one more today. Sean Connery, absolutely pace. I mean, Timothy Dalton, 3.1%, is an absolute disgrace. More people voted that Boris Johnson is a better prime minister than voted Timothy Dalton is a Bond, which is a really disturbing state of British affairs, I can tell you. Yeah, so people are going to talk about this for years. This will be studied at Harvard and Yale when we're done. Right, let's do some. What else have we got? Have I got anything else? No, obviously we've got international break coming up. Fraud gate to endure. So this is our last weekend for a couple of weeks. I did, as we get into the football, we did a poll on the quick football. I'm interested, how did you answer that one? So I basically asked, let me read it out. I basically asked, betting for interest, the worst back bet in the Premier League this weekend at the prices. The prices were taken at 9:45 on Thursday. At that time, Spurs home to Villa were 2.2. Burnley home to Norwich were 1.94. City away to Liverpool were 2.54. And Arsenal away to Norwich were 2.62.
The clear one for me.
What was the clear one for you?
Tottenham.
Was it?
Yeah. Because I think that Villa have just won at United. Tottenham's, you've shown it yourself, they are playing relegation. Only Norwich are worse. And I figure that if Villa were going to Norwich or someone round about that sort of looking to go down, they wouldn't be the price they are.
Okay.
And I couldn't trust Tottenham against anyone at the moment. Well, they'd beaten NF Mura the other night, didn't they? But
yeah, only when he bought on Son Kane and Mura.
No, yeah. Whereas I could see, even though I can understand people saying the other ones, whereas City, you know, for me, if Liverpool defend like they did the other day, it's quite a good price for City. But they probably won't defend like that. But yeah, Tottenham for me.
Okay.
And are you going to give us your answer?
I think out the four for me, genuinely, on a just, but I look at it purely as a price-based thing. I take everything on, but I think Spurs are fucking terrible. But I think the City price is ridiculous. I think Liverpool to be 3.0 at home.
Yeah, I hadn't looked at the price on Liverpool. It's
just ridiculous, and we'll get to that when we cover the thing. So of the four there, which would be the worst bet for me, would be backing City at Liverpool. Very, very closely followed by Spurs.
Yeah.
Villa. There's, to be honest, it's a coin flip, the two for me. There's not much in it.
No.
But interestingly enough, the person who you've sort of acceded on the pod, I had them fucking Dam and Dammer yesterday for a quick Zoom. Paul Surridge, I'm on the fence, no surprise there. I mean, he's gone from sort of we're better than everybody to on the fence. But he did say that Tottenham are better than Villa, which I don't believe at all. I don't believe Tottenham are better than...
I don't at the moment.
And squad-wise, I mean, everyone's saying squad-wise. Yeah, we've got Kane and Son. Kane's been rubbish. He is a good player, but he's been absolutely terrible this season. But Villa, you know, you'd want Danny Ings in your team. You'd want Bailey. You'd want Buendia. Tyrone Mings in our back four. There's plenty of Villa players. I think the keeper's really good as well.
I think they spent the Greenwich money well.
Yeah, I'd never got Arsenal getting rid of that keeper. And then buying Ramsdale now. I thought that keeper, Martinez, whenever I've seen him play, has been really solid. I've seen a massive amount of him. But he, push come to shove, Suggsy. If I had to have a tenner on the game, he'd put it on Spurs. And Kevin Kelly, Spurs will win that, which was absolutely...
I did see his post on there saying on the polls that he thought that they would win easy, Spurs.
Yeah, well, it tells you everything you need. And as I say, you learn everything about them, don't you? Spurs easy win. Absolute. Anyway, let's go through the game by game and we can revisit these. So we start with Man United home to Everton. Man United 1.5, and this is the prices yesterday, 1.53, 4.4 the draw, 7.8 Everton. It's not a bet for me. Everton currently sitting in the top six, I believe. I think they still are. I think they might just be hanging in sixth place after their win last week. Fifth place they are. Sorry, Sam Cassidy. Sorry, son. They're fifth place. So they're not, you know, obviously they got pasted by Villa in that game when I got wrong a couple of weeks ago. They're still a work in progress, I would guess, under Benitez, you know, only five, six games in. They beat Norwich last week, as I said they would. So perhaps a little bit of inconsistency till Benitez gets them settled. I still think Benitez will get them settled as a top six, certainly top seven side, but top six side over time. It's minute by minute with United, isn't it? It's Ole in, Ole out, minute by minute. You know, 92 minutes the other night, it was Ole out. He hasn't got a clue. And then Ronaldo scores a winner and you'd think they'd won the Champions League again. They are becoming a bit of a strange bunch of fans. I know we got a few listen, but they're becoming very sort of reactionary to things. I've made it clear every time I do not think he's the man. I think if United had a proper manager...
They'd be challenging
for the title without a shadow of a doubt and putting away teams like Villarreal.
Yeah, he's just relying on individuals to get him out.
That's exactly right. Which is very similar to what Spurs do with, you know, Spurs rely on Son and Kane to basically get them out of trouble. United rely on Fernandes, Ronaldo to basically turn something on. I totally agree with that. So I couldn't back United at 1.53, simple as that. I haven't got a bet in the go. I just couldn't back that, an inconsistent team like that at 1.53. You know, the value is probably on the Everton side. United have only won 8 out of 17, so they've won less than half home to top six side since 2016. when they've been in that position themselves. They just look too short for me. So I haven't got a bet. They may well go and win with Ronaldo. You can, you know, he can go and get hat trick, but
yeah,
not for me a bet in the game. So interested on your view.
Yeah, I would have been tempted with something with Everton, but with Richarlison, I think he's having a late fitness test, and Calvert-Lewin is definitely out. I think they miss those two quite a bit. So yeah, I've got nothing. I would have been expecting both to score at least if they were both playing, because they do concede to United at the moment. So no, it's nothing for me on that. I did look at cards, and unfortunately, the bookies have got it right. They've got Everton to get at least two cards, 1.57, Bet365 and Sky Marathon Bet. I don't know if they listen to the pod or something, but they seem to be getting later and later pricing up cards.
Might well be.
I wasn't able to look at Marathon. So, yeah, it's no bet for me, unfortunately, on that game.
Okay, mate. We'll have Ollie in, Ollie out all day tomorrow, I expect.
Yeah.
Right, Burnley versus Norwich is next, which is basically rubbish versus rubbish at the minute. 1.94 Burnley, 3.7 the draw, 4.6 Norwich. I couldn't back Norwich with your money, to be honest. If you gave me 50 quid and said put that on Norwich, I'd have to say I couldn't do it. And Burnley, obviously, you know, Burnley are struggling. Don't get me wrong. They played some decent teams, but I still expect Dyche to lift them up, and this may be the game that starts it. So, again, gun to my head, I'd back Burnley. I just couldn't go near Norwich at the minute. I think Norwich are going down. I said it at the start of the season. I'm going to probably say it every week. They are definitely going to go down. Probably a good bet to finish rock bottom, to be honest, if they're still...
Oh, easily.
If they're still odds against. They were odds against in the week to be rock bottom. But, yeah, for me, you know, it's... Yeah, I think if Burnley can't win this one, then they are going to find themselves in real trouble.
Big time, I think.
But I do, you know, do you want to back Burnley odds on with the form they've shown? Not for me, but gun to me head, I'd say Burnley win this. Over to you.
Right, I have actually got something for this.
Right, go on.
Because I said each week with Burnley that they're playing better than their results suggest. And they got an excellent 2-2 away at Leicester last time out, which, again, I had said, we've said that Leicester aren't quite themselves this season so far. So it wasn't a total shock. I think Burnley won't get many better chances to get their first win of the season. And I'm backing Burnley to actually score a couple. Last time they played Norwich in the league was two seasons back, because they came straight back up, and they beat Norwich 2-0 home and away. And what I like as well, and I'm a big fan of head-to-heads, and Burnley have scored at least two in their last eight v Norwich here as well. And I can get 1.94 the exchange for Burnley to score a couple, and 1.93 Marathon. So yeah, I'm on Burnley to score two goals, because I, like you, if they can't beat Norwich, that they're in trouble as well.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I would definitely agree with that. These are the games they've got to win.
Yeah, and the history says they normally do, so I'm going with that.
Okay, son. Okay. Next up, Chelsea versus Saints. 1.542 Chelsea, 5 the draw, 9.8 Saints. Saints did win this fixture last season 2-0, I believe. I think they did. I think it was one of Fat Frank's little... losses when Saints were having that little surge and found themselves with a nosebleed in third or fourth place at some stage, didn't they? Obviously Chelsea have had a difficult week, lost to City. You know, there's no harm in losing a City. I didn't watch the game, but a couple of people said City pasted them absolutely. I don't know, did they?
City were all over. City with a better team, I think. Chelsea manager was at fault. He went very negative.
Well, that's interesting, because then obviously Chelsea went and lost to Juve in the week. City obviously lost to PSG, but Chelsea went and lost to Juve. And in the Twitter world, which is becoming, I think, further away from the real world, people were criticising Tuchel and saying he hasn't got it. And I thought, well, he took you over in sixth, seventh, and you were nothing like a Chelsea team. and got your Champions League football and won the Champions League from absolutely nowhere. And amazing that 4 months on, people are starting again to criticise him because he's had, you know, losing to City is
any team no can, crime.
Any team can lose to Man City. And yes, Juve haven't been firing, but it's still not the easiest team to play. So absolutely madness for me, the way it goes. I can't remember who it was. Just somebody told me, oh, Chelsea were, Man City were all over them again. But
it's Man City were good.
It's just anecdotal.
Chelsea just sat back most of the games.
So it's, I've not got a bet in the game, but when I look at prices, I look at Chelsea at 1.42 and I look at Man United at 1.54. And I know which one of those two I'd much rather be on.
By far, Chelsea.
I think Chelsea are probably a penalty kick in this game for me. It's just not a price I tend to get massively involved at, but Chelsea at 1.42, I'd be amazed. I will genuinely be shocked and stunned if Chelsea don't win this game quite easily.
Agreed.
Yeah, over to you.
Right, yeah, I'm glad you said that because I agree totally. I can see Chelsea winning this 2-3-0. And if that's the case, I think Lukaku will be involved in the goals. So I'm going on Lukaku to score at any time in this match. Unibet go 1.83 and Sky and Bet365 go 1.73. I think if they're going to be scoring two or three goals, I'll be very surprised he's not among them. So that's that. And I'm also going on cards. Because I think Southampton are in for a very tough game. And for Southampton to get at least two cards, so far this season they've got two cards in four of their six games. And the only two games they didn't was again was with Madley as the ref, and he is very lenient. When they visit here, in their last nine, they've averaged 2.44 cards a game. And this is landed in seven of the last eight visits. And in a game where I think they'll be up against it, I think them to get at least two cards is a really good bet. Similar opponent stats is good as well. Seven of the last nine away games at teams at this level, Chelsea, they've got at least two as well. And Skybet go even money for Southampton to get at least two. Bet365, 1.83. And I think it's a good bet based on the stats.
Okay, yeah. No problemo. Right, Leeds versus Watford next. Leeds lost again. As West Ham came from behind, they went 1-0 up, I think. And then Antonio ruined. I was having a bad Saturday that day. I was doing my brains and every fucking result was going against me. And that was one that Leeds winning, nice. And then, of course, Antonio nicks it. And I might as well have just laid down and let people kick me on Saturday. And Watford won 1-0 to the Geordies. I thought Watford might nick that. Two poor teams. I haven't got many bets today. No bet, but very similar to what I said about Burnley. If Leeds don't win this game, I see them really banging trouble this season. I've said it, you know, that they could be this year's Sheffield United. I think people have worked
a bit better than them, but
I think people have worked them out a bit. You know, winless. I can easily see them going down. I really can. I can really see Leeds in this mix to go down. Tom Hill's now shouting at his whatever he's listening to this on. Odds on 1.81. Would you want to back a team playing the way they're playing at the minute at those
definitely
prices?
Not. No, and almost certainly they'll concede. No. They're going to need to score two.
Yeah, so it's just, again, I think they're Watford are perfectly capable of scoring.
Definitely.
So, yeah, you know, I think Leeds have to win it. But I couldn't have a bet. I'd certainly not touch them at that price. Over to you, son.
Yeah, I've got a couple in this. I like what you've said because that backs up how I feel about the game. I like overs. Leeds games, 3 from 3 at home have gone overs. Leeds are still the winner of the league, as you've said, and they're a surprise the way they defend, conceding in all six. And for me, are too gung-ho, and are going to find that in the relegation fight, as you've said already, if they don't start looking at their defence. I think they can make it 4 from 4 for this game, for overs. Watford have started the season okay, winning two of their six, and they've scored in three of their six. And the two games they failed to score were against sides that are defending far better than Leeds, Wolves and Brighton. And they really should score against this Leeds back line. And what I like, again, is the head-to-head. It just seems to be a game that always sees goals. Nine of the last 10 meetings here have seen goals. Overs. And okay, it was 6 years ago, but I just believe in trends on that sort of thing. And it's funny how these things happen. So 1.74 on the exchange for over 2.5. Sporting Index go 2.85 to 3.05. I think that's a good bet. And then the other thing I like is match cards for a change. Over 3.5 cards in the match, 1.78 Unibet, 1.73 Bet 365. Leeds have got five of their six games played. Both sides have seen at least four cards. And in a game where I think there's a lot at stake already, Leeds need to get their first win, etc., etc. And Watford know they're in a relegation battle already. Four cards looks a good bet to me. So, that's me for that game.
Okay, son. Right. No problem. Next up is Wolves versus Newcastle. Wolves have rallied, won two of the last three. Newcastle yet to win. Wolves 1.7, the draw 4.3. Newcastle 5.5. Just the way the fixtures are falling, that you just can't dig anything out of these. I mean, our Wolves at 1.7, the last time they won at home was in May. They've lost five of the last six at home. The one they didn't lose was the Carabao Cup game against us when we went 2-0 up and they came back into it. Lost to Burnley in April 4-0 here, lost to West Ham. They beat Sheffield United, lost to Tottenham, lost to Brentford. They're not very good.
No.
Certainly couldn't get involved with them at 1.7. And Newcastle aren't very good either. So, gun to my head, I'd probably say a draw. Newcastle might grab another 1-1 or something here and continue being winless. And we'll get Ollie out, Nuno out. But yeah, just at the prices again, I'm actually if anything, I'd be laying Wolves at just 1.7, I think is ridiculous price. So if anything, I would be a layer of Wolves in this game. Over to you, son.
Yeah, I've got nothing, literally nothing.
No, okay. I think this is the one I said last week when it wasted 90 minutes, whatever game with that. I think that was Wolves Southampton. Right, next up, Brighton versus the Arse. 3.1 Brighton, 3.3 the draw, 2.6 Arsenal. Brighton could have gone top. Amazingly enough, with a win at Palace on Monday. I think it was Monday Night Football.
Yeah, it was.
And this was a good example of why I don't watch games I bet on. I genuinely was at a loose end on Monday. And as you know, we'd had a reasonable amount on over 1.5 goals at Brighton.
Yeah.
And I didn't watch the first half. Obviously, Palace went 1-0 up and it was a 1-0 at half time. So I thought, well, that's all right. I walked the dog. Round about half time came in. I thought I actually didn't have any other trading to do. I'm going to watch the second half of this. More to watch. I wasn't watching it because we had a bet. I wanted to see what Brighton were like because obviously people wax lyrical about Potter and I've been fairly critical. And I thought, well, let's see how they're playing. So I put that on. And obviously, I'm well aware that we've got a fair lump on over 1.5. And Ayew is clean through to make it 2-0. A lovely bit of football by Palace to create that opportunity, to be fair. And I don't mind if the keeper saves it, but he misses the goal.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Misses the goal from sort of 8 yards out with it at his mercy. And you do think, fucking hell, there you go. And I was quite pleased in the end that Brighton scored because I thought, well, you deserve that. If you're going to miss opportunities like that, then you deserve what you get.
Which is how I always feel as well. We swapped a couple of messages then when it did.
And obviously we got, you know, it was the last kick of the game. Mopay scored. I thought both teams played okay, actually. I didn't really think there was much in it. I'll tell you who impressed me was that Trossard.
Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, I thought he looked really good. I thought he just looked like he can make things happen.
Yeah, because he wasn't a regular last season, and I was surprised.
Yeah, I thought, I mean, you know, it's only 45 minutes of football, but he's sort of player I like. He really looked to make things happen.
Yeah.
I thought he looked really good. He looked for me by far the best player on the pitch by a long way. Brighton are going along nicely. Will it be maintained? I'm not so sure.
No.
There's a lot of football to come, and this will be a kind of test, I think, but we'll see where they're at. Arsenal stuffed Spurs in what was only, frankly, embarrassing.
Yeah.
There's no other word for it. It's absolutely embarrassing. You know, I can bang on against Tottenham stats all day long. What happened in the first 30 minutes of that game last week was just embarrassing. You know, Arsenal could have had 5, 6, 7. It was ridiculous. And it's difficult when Arsenal win like that and then you look and go, they've beaten Norwich 1-0, they've beaten Burnley 1-0. I do think Arsenal will go up the league. I think Arsenal will finish in the top 5, 6, 7. I think they've got some good young players. I think there's plenty of things to be positive about. Whether the manager, again, is the right person, I'm not so sure.
I know, man.
And that will remain to be seen. You know, it seems like they're going to stick with him. In effect, when you look at that Norwich, Burnley, Spurs, you're probably talking maybe along Wolves did win. Three of the worst form teams in the league that Arsenal have beat.
Yeah.
All three of them dreadful. So I do think this will be tighter, this game, but I do see goals. I think the way both play, seeing that the other day, and I think the 2.5 is a bit big here. So I'm happy to trade the over 2.5 goals, back this through 10 minutes. Usual rules, if a goal goes in, sit on it and let another goal go in. If that goes in, green up. If it gets back to your entry point, then scratch for nothing. I do think we're going to see some goals in this game. And I couldn't call it, you know, you Arsenal 2.6, the prices are probably about right. If I had to pick a winner, I'd probably say I think Arsenal should be better than them.
Yeah.
But Brighton obviously have started the season really well, so be interesting to see. Matt Stevens, who was a massive and has been, to his credit, a staunch Graham Potter fan for a couple of years in one of the WhatsApp groups we're in. Matt, yes, I do certainly wish we had got Graham Potter rather than the fucking idiot we've got in charge at the minute.
Oh, definitely.
But, I quite enjoyed that half of football the other night. So, yeah, well, that's it. Over 2.5 for me. Over to you.
Yeah, when I look at the form for these two, like you said, Arsenal, all they've beaten is teams expected to be in the bottom half. When they played teams in the top half, they've lost to nil all three. Brighton's form, even, they've only beaten teams expected to be in the bottom half, apart from Leicester, who just not got going yet this season. So for me, like you, it's a really hard game to call. I don't see Arsenal losing, but I've got nothing for this game.
Okay, mate. Yeah. No, it is a tough one to call, I think, because you're never really sure you're seeing the true Arsenal or what the true Arsenal is anymore. And are Brighton overperforming? That's exactly right at the minute. So I agree with that. Right. Palace playing Leicester. I feel a bit sorry for Roy Hodgson because everybody's sort of raving about how much better Palace are.
Yeah.
And Vieira's coming in doing this fantastic job. They're still in the bottom six.
Yeah, they are.
They were fucking bottom six. It's not like they're doing a Brighton and up in fourth, fifth place. I thought they played okay the other night. I didn't think they were brilliant. I don't think they were the better side. I think it was very evenly matched. And yes, they should have gone 2-0 up and they didn't. Are they better, much better than what Roy Hodgson was churning out? Maybe the football's a little bit better, but I didn't see a lot of it. I don't know. Leicester, you know, in different start, lost again in Europe last night. Only one win the last five. And Palace are tough to beat at home, so I don't think Leicester win here. It's no bet, this, for me, but it is one I think you could back the draw. I think you could back the draw here. I don't think you're going to see a bundle of goals. And I think even if it went 1-0, it's more likely to go 1-1 than 2-0.
Yeah, I agree.
By the team. So whilst it's not an official recommendation, I do think you could probably back the draw here and nick a bit and trade it. I think this will be a tight old game and again, one that's pretty evenly matched given where the teams are. over to you, my friend.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've got nothing. Like you said, Palace are hard to beat at home, and I think that they are. I think what is noticeable for me is that I always felt with Palace, especially when Liverpool played them, they almost rolled over for the bigger teams. Certainly, Liverpool found it very easy in the main when Roy was manager, and they made it a lot harder and the score flattered Liverpool a bit, beat Palace. So I don't know, I see that. I think they look a bit of a better style of play as well. They're pressing a lot more and stuff like that. So I think it's maybe a bit more of an effective way and harder to beat. And like you, I think this is a really hard game to call. If pushed, I would sit on the reinforced fence and go a draw. And I've got nothing on cards at all. So now I've got nothing.
Okay. Right. Got Tottenham versus Villa. 2.2 Tottenham, 3.65 the draw, 3.5 Villa. As we said with the thing, for me, you can't be having this price. You can't be having 2.2 Tottenham. I mean, Villa have gone and stuffed Everton. They've won at Old Trafford. Spurs are, and I know I say it every week, and it might be boring people, but they are absolutely terrible. I'm trying to highlight an opportunity that Spurs are going to be layable prices for a fair period.
Yeah, you said that last week as well. Yeah,
people like Paul Surridge, and I'm not digging them out, who think they're better than they are, and that is a general consensus which drives their price down. Yeah. Look at the statistics backing this team up. They are 20th, not 14th, 15th. They are 20th in a whole host of stats in this league. They are without doubt currently one of the worst teams in the league. I think me and Izzy in the field could give them a fucking good game. They are terrible. The manager is absolutely clueless. I watch things like that in the game. He's just standing there with his arms folded. There's been a report this morning that the players don't have confidence in him getting his point across.
I've seen that, yeah.
A little bit quiet and insular. There's absolutely no way, genuinely no way, this guy gets us out of it. This is like death by slow cuts now. It is a matter of when he gets the sack, yeah, not if he gets the sack, because Tottenham as a club, the way it's run with the circus in the summer, are in an absolute mess. And the problem they've got, I can guarantee you that Daniel Levy, after that game last week, wants to sack him. I can guarantee he does. But who does he get? Where does he go?
At this moment in time, yeah.
Where does he go? And that's the problem he's got. Does he put Ryan Mason in, which is a massive gamble? It's all right, you know, a ridiculous decision to sack Mourinho before a cup final, but bringing Mason in then when you only had 7-8 games left and in effect you knew where you were in the league.
Yeah.
But with Tottenham's form at the minute, sack him, get it wrong, you're in real trouble.
Yeah, you are.
Keep hold of him, you're in real trouble. The club, Tottenham will be bottom six by Christmas. I'm telling people now, Tottenham will be bottom six by Christmas when you look at their fixtures.
And they'll be still there, yeah.
They are a poor, poor, poor football side, a really bad football side. And that Arsenal game showed it. You know, Palace whacked them three. Chelsea, in the last three games, they've let three goals in half an hour. Chelsea, Palace and Arsenal, all three of them. They're a terrible, terrible football side. And you just can't back them at that price. So you've got to lay Tottenham. You cannot, sitting there saying you want to back Tottenham at that money is absolute fucking madness for me.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, you've got to lay Tottenham and trade. And yes, they may well win it. If they win it, it'll be like they did against Wolves, getting a lucky penalty or nicking, you know, their City. They picked on about beat City for 25 minutes in the game against City. We didn't touch the ball. I actually turned to Paul and said, Can the bench throw another ball on the pitch so we've got one to play with? City could have been 2-3-0 up. Spurs got the goal. The crowd did get right up and probably over the line. But they are a terrible football side, and I cannot be having Tottenham 2.2. I do fully expect Aston Villa to win this game of football. I think they will have far too much for this current Tottenham setup. I genuinely believe that. And it's not just, I think you look at Villa, you know, yes, the 3-0 result was when they beat Everton 3-0, and then they've gone to Old Trafford, and yes, they got away with, you know, Fernandes missing a penalty.
Yeah.
But you still go to Old Trafford and win. you know, they won't be coming. Villa won't be coming to Tottenham with any fear. That's for certain. They won't be.
Oh, no, definitely not. They'll be thinking they're there for the taking, won't they?
They will be licking their lips, thinking, yeah, here we go. We've got a team on the absolute arse. We can go and get another 3 points. So I cannot be having Spurs at 2.2. I couldn't be having Spurs. The only team I could have Spurs at 2.2 against would be Norwich.
Yeah.
That would genuinely be in that league at the minute.
Yeah, and then I would think that would probably be a decent bet.
Yeah, so there you go. So over to you.
Yeah, well, like you, I know that Tottenham, I think, have got all by the counts are one of the worst at set pieces, playing a team who are rated one of the best at set pieces so far in Villa. I do think Villa will score, but I was trying to look at angles for goals, and I thought, well, both to score, but I'm just not confident enough that Tottenham will. Even though I'd like to think they will, from what I've seen in the last few games, I'm not confident they will. So that ruled out both to score. I looked at Villa team goal, but I'm not confident enough to do them to score two, even though I think they'll definitely score one, but the odds are too low. So it ended up being a no-bet game for me.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be one interesting to watch. And I said to you, I'm actually not going to the game.
I was surprised, yeah.
And one of the reasons, that people say you're not going because of the football, and there is that. I every time I go up to Spurs, it's 150 quid.
Yeah.
And I'm not particularly enjoying it. I'm not particularly enjoying watching shite, but I'm going to Bond in the evening. It would mean going up the Spurs, coming back home, walking the dog. Sam's away, so the dog would be on her own for a long period. So I just thought, I'm not going to go. So I got two people that we go with, and I manage their tickets, and I text them and said, I'm not going. What are you doing? Do you want my ticket? They said, no, we're not going. And my brother, I text him and said, I'm not going. He said, well, I'm not going either. His son's got a football match of his own. So in effect, we got six tickets there, and Spurs have a ticket exchange where you put the tickets on the ticket exchange so you can post them, and then somebody can buy them, and Spurs take a little fee and pay you for those seats.
Yeah.
When the new stadium opened, I've done it two or three times since the new stadium's opened, like when I've been away or whatever, pre-pandemic, and genuinely put them on there, gone within the hour. We've all listed our tickets. All six tickets have been listed. Nobody wants to buy them, not sold them. And I'm fairly confident we won't move them on.
No.
And that shows the difference. I've said all along, and I've said it on this podcast, Tottenham will become like Arsenal in the Wenger years. Arsenal published a crowd of 60,000. You could see quite clearly on telly that there's only 30,000 there or 35,000 in the back end of the day. Lots of empty seats. Or why are Arsenal fans dressed as red chairs? All those sort of jokes coming about. There's people at Tottenham who believe, oh, well, they'll sell them anyway. I am telling you, Tottenham will be playing to a 35, 40,000 capacity if things continue as they are.
Yeah.
I can't see any way that they get better for a good two or three years. And Daniel Levy may get 64,000 in for the boxing. He will not be getting 60,000 in for games unless it is West Ham, Chelsea, Arsenal. You know, when they play the likes of, and no disrespect to these teams, but when they play the likes of Villa, Wolves, Norwich,
yeah,
you know, teams that haven't got a massive rivalry with local rivalry, you will see that stadium, two-thirds full. I think you'll see it. I don't even know if this game's televised. I know we're playing Sunday because we're in that silly European thing.
Yeah, I don't know if it is.
I don't know if it's a TV game, but you will see a load of empty seats. Tottenham are in an absolute mess of a football club. And it'd be really interesting to see when that starts happening.
Yeah.
How it happens. Because if they lose, if they go behind here, one of the reasons I'd love to go is because if they do go behind, to see the atmosphere in the stadium, because I think it will be absolutely toxic if Tottenham fall behind in this game. You know, I think it will be, it is right on, it's like a seesaw, right on
the
tipping over to become really, really toxic up there. It's not just getting beat, it's the way they're getting beat. They're absolutely terrible. So really interesting. But yeah, so just the difference between, you know, that stadium's been open two and a half, three years now. The difference in how people were snapping up, obviously the sort of novelty of want to go and see the stadium, that's all gone now. There's no goodwill there. These seats sitting there and you can't move them on.
So you could end up not going and still costing you as though you have. But I think
it'll cost me the 80 quid ticket fee, but it won't cost me the train and the beer.
Yeah, you'd save on that bit,
yeah. So, you know, I've paid that money anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it would be another 70 quid, you know, for or my exes that I do when I get up there, or more. Yeah. So, yes, anyway, that's enough on that shower. Right, West Ham versus Brentford. West Ham 1.85, 3.8 the draw, 5 Brentford. West Ham won in Europe last night. Brentford having a right go, which is great to see. I didn't see the Liverpool game, but a cracker by all accounts.
Yeah, it was.
6-3 all. Did Brentford equalise late? Liverpool went 3-2 up and Brentford equalised?
Yeah, Liverpool 3-2. Mo missed a sitter. And we missed a couple of others as well. So we probably should have still won it. But I think, like you said, I agree, you don't take your chances.
Yeah.
And Liverpool were terrible at the back. And Brentford, you know, could have scored more themselves, to be honest.
But, yeah, when I look at it, it's difficult with teams like Brentford because obviously we have no data on what level they really are at.
No.
And West Ham, clearly, as painful as this is, have something going.
Yeah.
I'll keep saying again, you end up repeating this, but very, very good manager. They're obviously playing for him. You know, good players. Obviously, the decision for Noble with the penalty was, you know, one of the things, but they've got something going. I can't see West Ham not winning this game, personally, for all the sort of plaudits that people are giving Brentford. I just think West Ham have really got something going. I think they will be fifth or sixth in the league. I think West Ham... West Ham at 1.85 is probably worth a little sniff. Certainly no fill your boots, but probably worth a little sniff. Over to you.
Right, yeah, I do have something in this. I think this looks a really good game. West Ham are going well again, as you said, and the only defeat was here to United where they missed that penalty. Their games see goals, and 5 of the 6 have seen both to score and overs. And here, 3 from that, 3 for that also. Brentford are really impressed so far, losing just a 1 game. And last time out, got an excellent 3-3 at home to Liverpool. What I liked is they gave it a go. And away, they have scored a 2 from 3 also. And will fans have a chance of scoring at least again for the West Ham side that have it's conceded 5 of their 6. So that is why I'm going both teams to score in this. Both 1.87 on the exchange, as West Ham have been 5 from 6. Brentford, I didn't go overs because it's not gone overs at all in any of their 3 away, but they have scored in 2 of the 3. And I've looked at the Sporting Index. West Ham, you need to bet West Ham. They got to score 2 to win on the if you buy. And Brentford is 1.05, so they are expecting Brentford to score. I certainly fancy Brentford to score. So both to score for me.
Okay, mate. And then that finish brings us to probably what most will deem as the game of the weekend.
Yeah.
Your mob Liverpool taking on Man City at home. The Liverpool thing's really confusing me. It really is confusing me because they seem to be going along playing unbeaten. And all I hear people talking about is Chelsea and City. And whether people are preempting that Mane and Salah are going to go to the African Cup of Nations and Liverpool are going to collapse. But Liverpool are right in this. If anybody who thinks Liverpool aren't title contenders and big, big title contenders for me is mad. I think they are. I've said it all along. I think they're right in it. Liverpool have lost 2 of 25 against top 6 sides. Two of the last 25 at home against top 6 sides, whereas City have lost 7 and 22 away. And drawn 5 of those as well. Apparently, as I said, City were very good against Chelsea.
They were good.
I watched the second half of them against PSG, the Paris Saint Globetrotters, they're called now. No, they're not Paris Saint Germain. Paris Saint Globetrotters, the old RG fraud in charge. And City didn't impress me. I didn't turn around and go, wow, this is fantastic. I think it'll be a good game. I think Liverpool are playing really well. I think Liverpool are right up there. I think Liverpool are being dismissed far too easily for me. And at the prices in this game, Liverpool 3.0, I would have to back Liverpool. It's not a fill your boots, but I would have to back. I think City are terrible value in this game. I'd have to back Liverpool in this game. So for me, for bets to go down, Liverpool and West Ham, small wins and a small lay of Tottenham. None of these are massive bets, but at the prices, I couldn't.
Well, half a point each?
Yeah, half a point each on those. Laying Tottenham, back in West Ham, back in Liverpool.
Yeah, okay.
You'll know when it's fill your boots time. We'll have plenty of fill your boots times when the fixtures fall the right way. You've got to be patient. But yeah, I can't let Liverpool go untouched at 3.0 this week. Over to you, son.
Yeah, I've got nothing for this. Obviously, I did say last week, but and I chickened out as usual. I seem to do better on the stuff I chicken out on at the moment than I said that Liverpool were lucky to have kept so many clean sheets. And unfortunately, it came to fruition for Brentford, where we were woeful at the back. And my first thought when I watched that game is that City could score a couple. But as you say, we know in the bigger games, Liverpool at home are so much, they're a different team. They're so much harder to beat. And maybe they were a little bit complacent and it was an open game. Brentford gave it a go, Liverpool gave it a go. Yeah. But at home, a B City, and okay, City did win their 4-1 last season, but it wasn't a normal season.
But I
can't see City losing based on the Brentford performance, but because I think City will score because Liverpool aren't as good at the back as people think. And Alexander Arnold's out now, so is he bringing Milner in? That'll be fun against City. I just can't see City failing to score. So I've got nothing on it, but City will definitely score.
Well, we'll see. Spurs beat City at home, son. That's all I'll say.
So I'm hoping for what you've said, that it's a draw or a Liverpool win 2-1 or something like that. I'd be very happy with a draw even, to be honest.
Liverpool are a completely different beast at home in these games. And the one thing they've got to, you know, love him or hate him, they've got a very good manager and he's not watched that. When Nuno will watch Spurs play like that and have absolutely no idea what to do about it, Klopp will see Liverpool defend like that and say, that ain't happening again. And
he'll
and obviously they've gone to Porto and stuffed them, put five past them again.
And he said, didn't he? I don't. You probably saw it as well. He said we've learned our lessons from Brentford on the pitch.
Yeah, that's right. I'm quite happy with that. I'm quite happy with my position there. I just think Liverpool are way too big.
And I'm unfortunately one of the world's biggest pessimists in my own team. So
well, exactly. That's exactly it. And you've got nothing to be pessimistic about, son. They will be right there come the end. Trust me, they will be right there. They are right up there with that lot. That
I certainly think we are up front, but the defence worries me.
Well, you just need to look at the results since March.
Yeah.
Premier Leagues, you know, they had that blip around the Christmas period, took them till March to sort it out. You look at Liverpool's performance since March.
I watched most of their games.
They're the best team in the league since then. You know, they've been phenomenal. So it'll be really interesting to see.
Yeah.
Right. That's it, son. That's it. As always, everybody, thank you for listening. If you can, give us a nice review on Spotify or Apple or whatever else it would be.
Much
appreciated. Feedback on Twitter. All these things help us, get us listeners. And we're not me just talking to this numpty who thinks Daniel.
You do realise it's still me here, yeah?
Yeah, I've got it. Yeah, still there. Yeah, I never say anything behind people's backs. I don't say to their face, son, ever.
Oh, you've said all sorts to me, so I do believe that.
Yeah, never, ever, son. I'm quite happy to say
and
it.
And I like that as well.
Yeah. Right, so that's it. Have a lovely weekend. Best of luck with your bets.
Thank you, Scott,
as always. We won't be back next week because it's the international break. So the next pod will be in 2 weeks' time of this type. I will be back Saturday morning with a few bits and pieces if I can dig any out for the weekend football. Cheers, Mucker. See you later. Bye.
Bye.